Here is what I think I know. There are cigarettes. There are vapes. There is this thing called IQOS. There are the little pouches you put under your lip. And there is a whole world of disposable vapes. The Russians call them odnorazki, which as far as I can tell is just another vape. So basically, one thing, nicotine, delivered five ways.
That is a fair starting point, and it is wrong in three different ways. Unpacking each one is basically what these products are.
All right, which way first?
Start with delivery. You said five ways. The mechanism is actually one of four things. You either burn something, or you heat something without burning it, or you vaporize a liquid, or you park nicotine in your mouth and let it soak in. Every product on that list picks exactly one of those.
Okay, so cigarettes are burn.
Cigarettes are burn. That tip glowing red is tobacco combusting at somewhere around 900 degrees. Everything that comes off that fire ends up in your lungs, nicotine, yes, but also several thousand other compounds. Tar, carbon monoxide, formaldehyde, things you would object to in a factory.
Right, and that is the bad stuff.
That is almost all of the bad stuff. Cigarettes do not kill people because of nicotine. Cigarettes kill people because of what else is in the smoke.
So the trick for everything else is get the nicotine without setting the tobacco on fire.
That is exactly the pitch every other product on your list is making. Different answers to the same question, how do I deliver nicotine without combustion?
So IQOS is one of those answers.
IQOS, pronounced EKOS, Philip Morris's brand of what they call heat not burn, takes actual tobacco, in a little stick, and heats it to about 350 degrees, which is well below where tobacco combusts. So you get an aerosol carrying nicotine and tobacco flavor, without the fire.
And that is safer.
Fewer of those thousands of compounds, yes. Studies mostly done by Philip Morris themselves, which is a problem. The American regulator eventually let them advertise it as reduced exposure, meaning your body gets less of the bad stuff, but explicitly not reduced risk, meaning nobody would sign off on saying it makes you healthier.
Wait, is that not the same thing?
It is not. Less exposure to a harmful thing does not automatically mean less harm, especially when the harm is a low probability outcome over decades. The regulator drew the line where the evidence actually stopped.
Okay, then vapes.
Vapes are the vaporize a liquid branch. No tobacco at all. You have a liquid, propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, flavorings, and nicotine dissolved in it, and a small heating coil turns it into an aerosol. You breathe that in.
So a vape is basically a cigarette with the bad part taken out.
That is the marketing pitch, and it is partly true and partly not. The true bit, no combustion, so none of those combustion products.
And the not bit?
You are still putting something in your lungs that is not air. The flavorings, some of them are things nobody meant you to inhale. There was a whole scare about a butter flavor compound giving people scarred lungs. There have been metal traces off the heating coils. And the honest problem is that vapes have only been mainstream for maybe 15 years, so what happens after 40 years of vaping, nobody knows. There is no 40-year group yet.
So less bad than a cigarette, but not zero.
The public health consensus is roughly, much less bad than a cigarette, but not zero, and check back in 20 years.
Fine, then the disposables, the odnorazki.
Odnorazki is just the Russian word for the single-use ones. Mechanically, it is a vape, coil, liquid aerosol, but the whole device is thrown away when the liquid runs out. Elf Bar, Lost Mary, that whole shelf.
Okay, so mechanically, these are just vapes.
Mechanically, but they matter separately because they broke the market. Disposables are cheap. They come in flavors, mango, mint, cotton candy, bubblegum. They need no setup. And in a lot of markets, including quite recently, the Russian one you mentioned, the nicotine content per device is enormous. One disposable can hold as much nicotine as a couple of packs of cigarettes.
Wait, one of those little bars is two packs of cigarettes.
In dose terms, easily. The high count ones, the ones that advertise thousands of puffs, you can be walking around with a week's worth of nicotine in your pocket.
And people just hit it constantly.
That is the design. No ash, no smell you can point to, no packet coming out. So it is used the way you would use a mint. All day. The total nicotine intake for a disposable user is often much higher than a cigarette smoker's ever was.
That does not sound like harm reduction.
The harm from combustion is gone. The harm from nicotine dependence is bigger than the thing it replaced. And the group that took it up is teenagers who never smoked in the first place.
Okay, now the pouches, Velo.
The pouch is the fourth branch. No smoke, no vapor, nothing in the lungs at all. It is a small paper fiber pouch with nicotine and some fillers in it, and you park it between your lip and your gum. The nicotine soaks through the tissue.
And there is no tobacco in it.
In Velo and its cousins, Zyn, Nordic Spirit, no tobacco. Just nicotine, extracted or synthetic, plus fillers and flavor. Which puts it in a different regulatory bracket from actual oral tobacco.
What is actual oral tobacco?
Snus, Swedish. Same shape, pouch under the lip, but with real tobacco leaf in it. Banned in most of Europe except Sweden itself and well studied over decades. Turns out to be dramatically less harmful than smoking. Which is where a lot of the pouch category's talking points originally come from.
So Velo is snus without the tobacco.
Essentially, and by any lung-based measure of harm, a pouch is the least harmful of everything we have talked about. Nothing goes in your lungs, that is a real thing.
But there is a but.
The nicotine still gets you. And the strong pouches, the ones labeled 11 milligrams, are very strong. People who came off cigarettes onto pouches sometimes end up more dependent than they were, because the strong ones deliver a solid dose and you can wear one at your desk for an hour.
Okay, so which is worst?
Now the second way your one thing picture was wrong. It is not just about what else you are breathing in. It is also about how fast the nicotine gets to your brain.
How fast?
A cigarette gets nicotine into your bloodstream through your lungs, which is enormous surface area right next to the blood supply. Peak brain hit is about 10 seconds after inhaling. That is unusually fast.
10 seconds.
Which is a big part of why smoking is such a hard habit to break. Fast spikes train your brain much harder than slow ones. Same principle that makes injected drugs more addictive than swallowed drugs.
And a vape.
A vape hits fast too, because it is also lungs. Maybe slightly slower than a cigarette, depending on the device and the formulation. There is a thing called nicotine salt they added to make it hit closer to a cigarette-style rush.
And a pouch.
A pouch takes maybe 20 minutes to peak, and it stays elevated for a lot longer. So you get a plateau, not a spike. Which, for people trying to quit, is closer to how nicotine gum works than how a cigarette works.
And IQOS.
Somewhere between cigarette and vape. Aerosol into lungs, so fast.
Okay, so actually the shape of the addiction is different for each.
Very different. A cigarette smoker has cravings that spike every hour or two. A pouch user is often on a constant low dose. A disposable user is on a constant high dose. These are meaningfully different relationships with nicotine, even though it is the same molecule doing the work.
What was the third way I was wrong?
Total dose. You had an implicit picture where each product delivers roughly a cigarette's worth of hit, and the difference is just the delivery. In practice, the doses vary by an order of magnitude. A pouch might be 1 or 2 milligrams over half an hour. A disposable might be 20 milligrams over an afternoon. Nothing on this list is interchangeable one for one.
So if you had to rank them, worst to least bad?
With big caveats, cigarettes are the worst by a long way, that is not really contested. Heat not burn like IQOS is generally believed to be somewhere less bad, but the evidence is thin and mostly from the manufacturer. Vapes are probably a lot less lung harmful than cigarettes, but the long-term data does not exist yet. Pouches are probably the least lung harmful thing on the list because there are no lungs involved. Every single one is nicotine addictive.
And the odd Norazki, are secretly the worst of the vape category because of dose.
For dose and for who uses them, yes. In terms of what is going into the lung per puff, they are the same as any other vape. In terms of somebody's total nicotine intake over a week, they are a different animal.
Okay, so the safest option is?
The one you do not start.
Right.
Which sounds glib and is not. Everything on this list works because nicotine is one of the most reliably addictive things there is. The five categories are five different bets on how to keep delivering it, reducing this harm, sometimes increasing that one. Nobody has found the version where you get the nicotine and nothing else.
Not even the pouch.
Not even the pouch. The pouch takes lung damage off the table. It does not take addiction off the table. And most of the harm from being addicted, the money, the time, the fact that you cannot sit through a meeting without wanting one, those are still there.
Okay, so the picture I had was five flavors of the same thing.
And the real picture is four delivery mechanisms, one shared molecule, and a spread of doses and speeds that turn into meaningfully different products. Same word, different objects.